Greetings of Christian love to each one, and a warm welcome. It's good to see each one here, especially the visitors, some old friends, people we haven't seen for a while. It's good to have you in our midst this morning and worship with us. And God bless you for being here and sharing with us this morning. I've enjoyed the devotions, the Sunday school discussion. I believe our hearts have already been reminded of the importance of living and the work that we have to do, and life continues to go on. Sometimes we think it's just the same day after day after day. But praise God, He's in it and He has a plan. And this morning as we gather in, we're gathering in a new year. Someone made mention this morning that it's like a clean page before us, a clean slate, however you want to word it. And as I think about that, and I thought about this, and I was trying to decide what to share about this morning, I would like to consider for a message this morning a question: what will you do with the new year? What will you do with the new year? What have you done with last year? You know, I believe it's good for some folks like to reminisce a lot. I like to think back and think about the past some. I probably don't do that as much as some people do. Some folks seems like they almost live in the past. They reminisce so much and it's just, life is all back there, the good old days. I suppose I tend to be a person that's usually anxious about what's going on now in the future, and probably tend to maybe not think about the past as much as I should sometimes. I think it's good for us to stop and consider the past. What did you accomplish in 2017? If I were to ask each one of you, what happened in 2017? What have you accomplished? I wonder what kind of answers I would get. There's a lot of things that we got accomplished in 2017, didn't we? Probably there was a lot of gain, financial gains. It's just a lot of work that got done. There's a lot of things that got done. But when you really stop and reflect on the things of 2017, how do you feel about them? Do they make you feel good? Do they bring a sense of accomplishment, peace to your heart? Do they bring, as you reflect on what you've done this past year and the work that you were involved in, does it make you feel like it was worth it all? What did God get out of it? I like Brother Larry's prayer so much this morning. He prayed about the importance of our spiritual welfare. And that is so true. Did the accomplishments of 2017 help me grow spiritually? Are we a better person today standing at the threshold of 2018 because of the choices we made in 2017? Are you going to be a better person at the end of 2018? I'm talking about your spiritual being, the spiritual part of us. I'm not talking about the material accomplishments this morning that we can make. But at the end of 2018, do you have a goal? Have you stopped and considered what kind of person you want to be and what you have done for the Lord during the year of 2018? As you look at 2018, what goals do you have? What would you like to do? You see, I'm human enough, and I'll admit this morning that I think that when I think of life, the ideal situation in life really is when everything just falls into place. It all happens the way I'd like for it to happen. There's no waiting. There's no interruptions. There's no flat tires that are going to happen in 2018. There's no tears that are going to need to be shed. You know, that would be ideal, wouldn't it? Well, would it be ideal? You see, the obvious truth is, and just this morning I'd like to look at numerous verses, I suppose, and maybe my thoughts are somewhat scattered, but let's go back to the book of Isaiah. I'd like to just refer to a few verses in the book of Isaiah. As you're thinking about the new year and you're thinking about what would be ideal, and with the thoughts that I already shared, you see, so often my thoughts of what would be ideal, as I consider the ideal situation, it's really limited to the present, to the moment, the time now, and to the passing of time, as it were. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 8, the prophet Isaiah says this. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And then he goes on and he makes this comparison in verse 9. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So stop and think with me for a moment. What I consider ideal, and what I would probably view as ideal, and what I would like to see happen this next year, it's probably going to be different than God's agenda for me, right? That's what I take from these verses. Because I tend to see the moment, right now, right here, the present. God doesn't view it that way. You see, in the eyes of God, as God looks down upon us, is it possibly that God considers your life and my life, and he says, "You know what? Lamar really needs to grow in patience. He needs to grow in his faith. He needs to grow in kindness." The list can go on and on. I don't know what all God sees that needs to happen to Lamar this year. And so, because God is God and God sees that I need that, God is probably going to bring about the circumstances, at least some of them this next year, that some of his goals can be achieved. And if those weren't my goals, then it's going to run counter with what I was hoping to have happen. You see, the point is this morning, God's ideal isn't my ideal. So what do you hope to accomplish in 2018? What will you do with a new year? I'd like to make some proposals to you this morning. First of all, I'd like to read an old story to you. It's one that I'm sure that you all heard. It's an old story from the days of slavery, but I'd like to make some observations from it this morning. The story goes like this. A strong young slave was put on the auction block. He looked able to do an enormous amount of work, so the bidding was lively. But the young man was bitter. Why should he be treated like an animal? He already hated the man who would buy him. The bidding stopped. The buyer stepped forward. He saw the seething hatred in the young man's eyes, but it did not discourage him. He took his possession aside. Looking him in the eye, he said, "I have bought you. You are mine. I bought you to set you free." When it dawned on the slave, he threw himself at the buyer's feet. "Master," he said, "I'll serve you forever." No longer was he a resentful slave. but a willing servant. This morning I'd like to ask you the question, was this slave's response overdone? He was still a slave. He was still going to have to go work. He didn't know what all his work needed to be that was going to be required of him. But what else could he have done when he really grasped that what he had been saved from? And who else would he rather be close to the rest of his life than the kind man that bought him, who was actually ended up being his redeemer? But you know, friends, that's you and I this morning standing at the threshold of a new year. We've been bought. God has bought us this morning to set us free. In fact, he's bought us back. We are people who were in slavery. We were slaves to sin. We're slaves to our old nature, which is so native to us. We know what it is. But you know what? This morning, God goes beyond just setting you and I free. He doesn't just set us free and let us go. He makes us children of His, sons, daughters. We're part of the family of God now because He bought us. He brought us back in. We have the right to everything that God has because we're His children, heirs, joint heirs, the Bible says, with Jesus. Think of it, not only a servant, but His son, an heir of Christ. This morning, how can we but help but cast ourselves at His feet and say with our slave friend, Master, I'll serve you. I'll serve you forever. I'll serve you through 2018. Is that one of your goals this morning? If I would have asked the question this morning, I wonder what the list would have looked like this morning if you would have responded and said what your goal is. You see, this morning, there are many people who say that they are glad to be sons of God. They want position. They want the benefits. But when it comes to the thought that this slave had, the serving forever part, wait a minute. No thanks. I want to be a son. I want to be free. I want position. I want benefits. But you know what? Serving? Really? The truth of the matter is, dear friends, this morning, sons of God are partners with God. And their work, or His work, is going to be their work. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, we then as workers together with God, Paul said. And so, I believe this next year, our goal needs to be servants, to work with God, to do God's work. You see, the closer the relationship between a father and sons, the greater the accomplishments, the greater the cooperation. It works that way in this life. If you are privileged to work together as a family, and numerous ones of us are, we work with sons. And we know the importance of working together and pulling together to accomplish a goal. It's not any different in the spiritual realms. We must work the work that God has for us. I must work the works of Him that sent me, is the testimony of Jesus. You see, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He came to be a servant. He came to give His life. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, to finish His work. His whole life centered around this one aim, this one goal. I came to do Thy will, O God, was His banner. Is that our banner for this next year as you think about 2018. Brethren and sisters, are you willing to take up the work that God has for you? To be a yes man? To make that commitment today that when God asks you to get involved in kingdom interests and in kingdom work, that you're going to say, yes, I'll try to do that. I was challenged on Wednesday night. I was talking with a brother who taught the adult class, the Joseph class here. And he expressed his fears of coming up here and teaching for us because he said he'd never done anything like this before. It's a new experience for that brother to come and stand here and teach. But he said, you see, he said, I believe that we ought to do things like that because, he said, it's one of the reasons I left my former setting and made a church move and am now part of the Calvary congregation. Because, he said, I believe that people, church members, ought to be involved in church work. They ought to have work to do. They ought to be willing to take up work and do it. And he said, in my former setting, I didn't have that privilege. We didn't do that. You see, the ministry done it all. The laity was not expected to. Well, I understand that there's maybe a few men that they use. But for the most part, in that setting, you're a lay member and you're not really expected to be used. And he said, I made that church move because that was one of the reasons, he told me, not the only reason. But he also went on to tell me that when the brother, I don't know if it was Brother Jimmy or who it was, that called him and asked him to come up here and teach, his first reaction was that he doesn't want to do that because of the fear in his heart. And he asked his minister if he should, and they encouraged him to. And so he's here teaching because of that. I share that with you this morning because that's native to all of us. When we're asked to do things, there's a fear that goes through it, through our hearts. When I'm asked to go spend a week of revival somewhere, there's a fear that goes through me about that. And my first response wants to be that, no, I might, yeah, no, anyhow. I'm telling you what human reasoning starts doing. I got plenty else to do. My plate's full. That's just not going to work, you know. That wants to be my first response. Somehow we have to lay down self. And we have to say, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, then I'll do it. You see, that's what Jesus did. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to come, leave the throne of heaven, come to earth to do the will of the Father, face death and all that? So what will you do with 2018? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to spend a little time in 1 Corinthians 15 and chapter 16. I'd like to use this for a text verse this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul is telling us here that we are to be steadfast and abounding, unmovable and abounding in the work of the Lord. And he goes on and says that the reason for you to do this is because if you get involved in God's work, your labor is not going to be in vain. Maybe you don't feel like you can do what you're called to do. But brother and sister, this morning, if you commit yourself to doing it and you do it to the best of your ability, whatever that is, maybe there's somebody that can do it way much more better than you can. But if you just give yourself to do what you can, the labor is not going to be in vain. That's a promise. That's a commitment. You will come to the end of 2018 and you will be blessed. And we'll look at some of that a little later. You see, this morning I believe that the ideal Christian life is not where everything just falls in place, but I believe it's a life of being active for God. being active in the work of God, being active in service to God, being that slave who throws ourselves at the master's feet and says, Lord, whatever, whatever. That's scary, I know that. But you see, there's a point I'd like to make in this morning. And the point is this. What you and I believe is important. But how we act upon such beliefs is more important. Brother Virchow brought that point home to us the other evening when he told us that if we really believe in the doctrine of hell, if we really believe the Bible and we believe in the doctrine of hell, we're going to go tell people about Jesus. We're going to go tell people what they need to hear to stay out of hell. And if we don't believe it, then we probably won't be telling people that is how it works. So you see this morning, what we believe is important, but how we act upon what we believe is more important. Mm-hmm. We can say we believe, we can, but we must act. So a question that I want us to think about this morning, can one really truly be a Christian and not be involved in service? I think we know the answer. I think we know the answer to that. You see, every child of God is constrained by a sense of duty to discharge his full obligations to God and to his fellow men. It begins, I believe, in church life. It reaches out in our communities. We have obligations that are ours, responsibilities. The Bible makes it plain. The Ecclesiastes writer, I enjoyed reading those first three chapters this morning. He makes so many comparisons. But in chapter 12, he winds up saying to fear God and keep his commandment is declared to be the whole duty of man, is what he says there. To fear God and keep his commandments. I believe this morning that the most beautiful heaven-blessed life, I'll call it, is the life that abounds in service to God, in good deeds, devoted to faithful Christian service, whatever we can are called to or whatever we can get involved in. And I like to just promote some of that this morning. You see, our natural way of thinking about what we would like to experience in 2018 is probably a life, the world around us, let me say it like this. It's a controversy to the opinion of many people. What is a good life? Many people favor a life of ease, luxury, pleasure, plenty to satisfy whatever your heart craves. Whatever that is, for everybody it's different. The needs of the body, the mind, and the soul, without too much physical exertion, unless you really feel like it. You don't do it. And some of that's good and right. We want healthy souls and healthy minds so that we can reason right and think right about life. You see, it's like it is in every other walk of life. There are two great wills, my will and God's will, that are in conflict. It's the will of God. And maybe it's not always just my will. It's the will of Satan enters in as well. And he works through us, keeps us from doing what we know. You see, this is sobering because the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 6, I believe it is. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Again, it's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 16. I thought about reading this chapter. I'm just going to pull some verses out that I want us to think about this morning as we think about this thought of what we're going to do. What will you do with a new year? In verse 9, Paul is reflecting on the fact that there is a great door and effectual is opened unto him, he's referring to himself, unto me, and there are many adversaries. I believe this morning that we stand at the threshold of a new year, and we are blessed. And I believe that if God gives us this next year, we will be blessed to have many great doors open unto us. What are we going to do with the great doors? He says, for a great door and effectual. Are we going to make the great doors effectual? Are we going to take the opportunities that come our way to do good, to work the will of him that sent us, as he opens the doors to us, as the calls come our way, whether it be through the church, through whatever way? Are we going to step through them? Will we take them? I think we do well to stop and ponder this. You see, the fact whether we're going to take them or not is going to make whether the door was an effectual door or not, whether it helped someone else, whether it done something for God, whether it accomplished the will of God and his plan. Many times we can hinder the work of God in some form or way. When the door is before us and we say no to that door, God's work isn't always hindered, because sometimes God just lets us alone and he goes and gets it accomplished through someone else. But when that happens, we have lost the blessing is what happens. And I'll look at some of that a little bit later. And so I'd like to encourage us, all of us together, and I'm encouraging myself this morning and telling myself again that as God's work unfolds before us, whatever that might be, let's walk through those doors. In verse 10, he says, now Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. In verse 10, we see another principle that needs to be dealt with. We see that Christian service is God's work, and as we enter into it, there's human fear that gets involved. He says that he may be with you without fear. Yes, it's right to have a fear of God, but let's not have a fear of man and a fear of what if and the fear of everything else that wants to take over in our hearts. In fact, in verse 12, if you look in verse 12, he talks about Apollos as touching our brother Apollos. I greatly desire him to come with you, unto you with the brethren. But his will was not to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time. That sounds pretty carnal, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit like we sound sometimes. My point that I'd like to make from this is, as the doors of opportunity are there, let's check our hearts for the real reasons for our excuses not to go there. I don't know what Apollos was involved in, but it seems when I read that verse that he was a lot like we can be sometimes. He would have just sooner not. It wasn't convenient right now. You know that usually the time God calls us to take up a great work for him, calls us to service, calls us to action, calls us to move, they're usually not convenient times for us. In fact, I realize anymore that the people that many times take up the work are the busiest people around, because they say yes to things and they get involved. And I believe God wants us to do that. I also want you to notice verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. There's another little principle that I see here. There's a part that each one of us needs to supply. It doesn't just take you or I or any one of us by ourselves, but brethren and sisters, it takes a working together. It takes every one of us so that those doors that God lays before us become effectual. The work of God is a great work, and it's a work for each one. And there's something that you can supply, and there's something that you can supply, and there's something that you can supply, and hopefully there's something that I can supply. And as we all supply that work together, it happens. In verse 18 is another thought that I want to bring forth that needs to happen. Verse 18, he says, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." You see, when each one of us contributes a part here and a part there and a part the other place, then there's a refreshing. There's something that happens to all of us. I come to church many, many times and I leave refreshed because you have supplied a part and because you have supplied a part. You see, that's how it works. I come to church numerous times feeling like I need that part, like I need that refreshing. And if you wouldn't have supplied it, I wouldn't have received it. And that's how it works for everyone else. And think about that this morning, dear ones. If you're not willing to supply the part that you can supply, someone else is probably going to be left down, not have this refreshing that he talks about here in these verses, in verse 18. "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours." Now, I'd like to just, for a few moments this morning, think about, just change our thoughts a little bit. And I'd like to think a little bit what stepping through doors, getting involved, what it means. Because I think there's some things that we need to think about. And if we think about them up front and we get it settled that that's just a part of it, it's going to help us when we get to the door and the opportunities are there. One of them is simply this: getting involved means suffering. Getting involved means suffering. You're going to suffer when you get involved. You're going to suffer when there's a door of opportunity before you and you're called to go through it. It's maybe not physical suffering. It may be that. It's probably some emotional suffering, some mental suffering. There's going to be a weariness of the flesh in preparing for whatever that responsibility is. You see, suffering is not the way we like to think about life. It's not what we would like to say that we want to go through in 2018. It's not what we're looking forward to have happened in 2018. But dear ones, it's a Bible promise that it's going to happen. You're going to suffer in 2018. I'm going to suffer in 2018. Mark it down. There's going to be suffering. But you know what? We can choose what we're going to do with that suffering. We can choose to make the suffering even worse and suffer harder in the suffering because of the way we look at it. Or we can choose to take that suffering and turn it around for the honor and glory of God and make the best out of it. You're standing at the threshold of a new year, and the suffering that you're going to do this next year is in your ballpark right now to decide how you're going to, what you're going to make out of it. You see, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "For even Hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. What, in a life of roses and everything just right? Is that wasn't the life of Christ, was it? We are called to follow in his steps, and so there's going to be suffering. Jesus did it for numerous reasons, but one of them was to leave us an example. So mark it down, there will be suffering. 1 Peter 4, chapter 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Get it in your mind this morning, right here, right now, that there will be suffering. You see, I believe to be forewarned is to be forearmed, is what I believe. In other words, expect to suffer. And you will be the stronger when the need arises, when you need to suffer. Paul put it in different terms. He used military terms. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier is one that's ready to lay his life down. It doesn't matter. He knows that enemy is coming. He knows that he's going to have to fight. A good soldier expects to be wounded. He expects to be hurt. He expects to suffer. And Paul says, be a good soldier. Enter into this new year being a good soldier. You see, a good soldier foregoes all the, should I call them, normal comforts and normal interests and his own agenda, the plans that he would love to make. A good soldier foregoes all that for a greater cause, isn't it? And so must we this morning. Secondly, this morning, service means sacrifice. Service means sacrifice. There are many people, like I said, that want to serve God. They want to serve God with what's left over. After I took out what I want out of life. If there's anything more left over, if God gave me more than what I wanted, maybe I'll use that to serve him. If they have time left over, if they have money left over, I'm getting older, if I have energy left over. The challenge is this morning, how much do I need for myself? You see, the point that I'm trying to make is that if all you're giving is what's left over, you're not sacrificing one bit, my friend. There's no sacrifice in giving what's left over. That wasn't a hardship to you at all. It wasn't a hardship to me. If all we gave was the cream of the crop, what was left over after I was satisfied. You see, the point that I want to make this morning is unless we sacrifice, we're not really in service for God. Once we begin sacrificing for God, God can accept our service. Once God sees that our heart is to really sacrifice, then it's like God wakes up and starts helping you. Too many times our problem in life is that we approach life on my terms and the way I feel and what I want to do, and I'm not willing to be spent beyond what feels good to me. And if we just stay at that place, God says, well, you really don't need my help. I don't know if God says that or not, but I'm trying to make a point this morning. Because if you're not spending yourself beyond what you have, you don't really need God. You're capable of right where you are, and you don't really feel like you need God. You never feel like you need to cry out to God for help. the point I'm trying to make, again, is once we begin sacrificing for God, once it starts hurting, once we dig in beyond what's left over, once we go into the energy that we don't know where it's going to come from anymore, once we dig into the wallets to the point where we're not even quite sure if is there money there to do this. There's a need, and I really like to help, and we start going to those places. The same way with our time. Until you start digging into your time and you wonder how in the world am I ever going to get this done? I felt that way earlier this week. I thought I was going to have to preach on Friday night, Winter Bible School message, and I knew I was going to have to preach this morning. And the Lord allowed us to have cold weather and put us in survival mode on the farm. And I wondered where I was going to find the time to put everything together that I needed to put together. And I started wondering about my time. Where is it all going to come from? How's this all going to work? Well, somehow God helped me to put it all together. And on top of that, on Friday night, he said, well, it's like Colt, we'll just cancel the service. And I didn't have to go. And I put a lot of worry into what didn't happen. That's another point, another thing that we do so often. We worry and we worry and we plan and we scheme and how's it all going to happen? And you see, God knows when we had enough. Somehow, I feel so often like I have to tell God it's enough. It's enough. Sacrifice. Jesus complimented the widow who gave the 2 mites. What did he say about her? He said she gave more than all the rest. She only gave 2 mites. There was men there who threw in an abundance of money. In fact, they liked to sling it in and it jingled as it went, and people could hear it. They weren't sacrificing. All they were giving was the cream of the crop. Jesus rebuked them for that. He said, here's a widow. She put in 2 mites. It was the last she had. It was all that she had. How was the poor widow going to survive? What had she learned that we need to learn? I need to learn. No, it was that she had sacrificed. It was sacrificing. And God saw that sacrificing. And he blessed her for it. Just a few things quickly yet. I want to think about a few things that a few blessings of service, a few blessings that you will receive. Dear friends, if you enter into 2018 and give your all to God this year, and whatever that is, here's some things that is going to happen. First of all, it's going to deliver your soul. Let's just quickly turn back to Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 8 and 9, Ezekiel 33 and verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die, but he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You see, when God calls and wants us to act for him, give us work, when we act, one of the blessings is going to be there's going to be deliverance for us. We're set free. And that's a good feeling. There's a feeling of accomplishment after a hard job is done. You get through it and somehow you feel at peace and rest. You struggled so bad to get through it. But when it's all said and done, there's a blessing in it. Takes me to the second point. This is the feeling that comes along with it. Obedience to Christ and faithfulness to him are essential to the peace that passes all understanding. The Bible talks about having a peace that passes all understanding. That peace doesn't happen at the beginning of the project. It happens when the project is done, when the work is done, when you have served, when you have put your all into it, when you have given everything that there's there. That's when you can claim a peace that passes all understanding. The third thing I wrote down, every opportunity to work for Christ is another opportunity to gain, is an opportunity to gain another talent. And what I mean by another talent is not another sum of money or another credibility or whatever our way. When we give ourselves to the work of the Lord and we make ourselves through it, it's a learning experience, but it's more than that. What's the word I want? There's something that happens. There's a blessing that happens in that. It's like I said, there's that peace that passes all understanding. But you know what? When we stretch ourselves beyond our limits is when we become more knowledgeable about the world that we live in. I'll just say it like that. Things, whatever it is. You see, when we don't get involved and we draw back and we don't give ourselves into whatever that work is that we're called to, we lose out on the knowledge that we gain from it. I could give you numerous examples of that this morning. But it's what keeps people in growing in a little circle right here, and they never get further than so far because they're not willing to expand themselves. When you get out of that circle and you become useful and you allow yourself to get involved in this work or that work, and when you're there and you rub shoulders with these kind of people and these kind of people instead of just this kind of people all the time, there's something that you learn about that, and you learn about this organization, and you learn about that, and your knowledge just expands, and after a while the Bible looks different to you because it makes sense, because you put it together from various angles. It's another opportunity to gain another talent, I'll call it. Fourthly, there are many people who have experienced their spiritual life take on new power as a result of service. You see, there's something that happens when you give yourself into the service of God and you say, Lord, I'm here, whatever, use me. There's power. God gives the power. God gives the ability. God makes it happen for you. And you become a different spiritual person, I'll just say, because of the result of that. There's a spiritual life. There's a power that takes on. And fifthly, the rewards of faithfulness are great, and the penalties of unfaithfulness are severe. Let's be faithful. Let's walk through the doors. There are difficulties to face. There will be difficulties to face. There will be hardships. But God will be with you. God will walk the way with you if you are faithful. You know what? The opposite's true as well. If you're not faithful, you will face the difficulties alone. Just think about that. You will face the difficulties alone. Be not weary in well-doing. The promise is that we will reap if we faint not. What will you do with 2018? We're only a few days into it. You haven't marked too much of it yet. The challenge I leave with you this morning is, let's step to the plate. Let's work for God, whatever that is. I don't know what those calls are going to be for any one of us this morning. But let's put our hearts and our minds to it and get ready for it. God wants to accomplish great things using you and I. Let's not let him down. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pause before you again this morning. And we just say thank you. Thank you for blessing us with this opportunity. Thank you, Father, for this warm place to gather in this morning in this cold winter day. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship that we've received around your word this morning. Thank you, Father, for each one that is here, each brother and sister, each blood-washed saint that has gathered in to worship you this morning. Father, we acknowledge our shortcomings as we look back through the past year and we realize that there were many doors of opportunity that could have been more effectual, Father, if we would have stepped up to the plate. And we just pray that you would forgive us for that. And Father, we pray this morning that you would give us minds and hearts to step through the doors into a new year. Each new day that you give to us, Father, that we would look for opportunities, that we would look for the doors. And when the opportunities arise, Father, we just pray that you would give us courage, take away the fear in our hearts, and help us to step forward. And as each one of us, Father, steps through the little doors that you put before us, what great things can be accomplished. Father, we just pray that you would use us. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. Help us to be faithful. Help us to not be downcast in life, but look to you and look up and lift our eyes heavenward, Father, and see the promises and the strength and the glory that alone comes from you. We thank you this morning for that, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that you're a faithful God. You're a just God, and what you do is right and well, and we praise you for that this morning. Thank you for those things where we can look back in 2017 and see where you just took our hands and led us through. Father, we thank you this morning that Brother Dan can be back here and with us and worship with us. And we pray for Angie and her family this morning. Father, continue to heal them. And others, Father, whoever they are, wherever they are, for whatever reason they're not here this morning, just touch their life and grace their hearts, and may they know that you're near. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with health and strength. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. Thank you for this land that allows us to gather in this morning and worship you. Thank you for Jesus, for peace and joy through him. We just thank you this morning and pray that you would go with us as we leave this place and bless this coming week. It's our desire, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.